let's get you back to On the Map. Here's Dave Plyer.
All right, whether you're in the stands, at a party, or at home, plan accordingly to enjoy the Run for the Roses on the first Saturday in May. It's all happening next weekend. The Kentucky Derby is the longest continually held sporting event in America, and it is one of the most prestigious horse races in the world, and this year is the 151st anniversary of the big race. Now, a little bit of history. On May 16, 1925, the first live radio broadcast of the Kentucky Derby aired on WHAS in Louisville, and right here on WGN Radio in Chicago 100 years ago. And to talk about the Kentucky Derby is Tanya Ablin. She is the Vice President of Communications for Churchill Downs and President of the Churchill Downs Foundation. And she joins us now on the map. How are you, Tanya?
Hello, Dave. It's a pleasure. I love knowing that the audience that we're talking to today were among, you know, the first all those years ago to get to enjoy the Kentucky Derby remotely.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the greatest 2 minutes, of course, in sports. And it's just 1 week away. Pretty exciting, but I'm sure there's a lot of work ahead.
There is. You know, last year for the big 150th Derby, that was such a monumental occasion. And so there was a huge buildup to that. I mean, that was a true, true bucket list. So you think about where to go from there. Everyone was building up to the 150th. So the 151st doesn't quite roll off the tongue the same. But we still have so many new things to introduce. And really, moving ahead from the 150th, the question that remains is, how do you take this, the oldest, you know, the sport of kings, the longest continually running sporting event in North America, and continue to innovate it in a way that delivers the tradition that people really love about this sport and this event, but also attracts, you know, a younger generation of fans and a global audience. And so that's always the task at hand, and we feel like we are rising to the occasion. But some things never change. You know, it's still 2 minutes, still three-year-old horses. So, you know, the things that people have come to love about our traditions, they can always count on.
They absolutely can. So there is so much history, as you said, with the Kentucky Derby. So share a little bit about how it all began, Tanya.
Well, 1875, you know, it all started with really a humble race. It was the Oaks and the Derby, and through the years, the event has really transformed into a cultural moment. And so, as everyone knows, the fashion, the food, the things that people have come to associate with the Derby, wearing hats, you know, along the way, celebrities became a big part of the CNB scene at Churchill Downs. And so all of those things have amassed to become this real, you know, it's very much a representation of Americana to our fans across the world. You know, you mentioned the first radio broadcast, and now we broadcast to, you know, 16 million fans every year. You know, not to mention the social impact and footprint now that we get from that, those platforms and that content. So it's you know, we say the more things change, the more things stay the same. But horse racing has a way of really connecting with people emotionally beyond just a 2 minute race.
Well, it's even funnier too, because even though it's a 2 minute race, if you're not there, there's Kentucky Derby parties everywhere. I was invited to one this year. First time I was invited to one. And, you know, they happen all afternoon, all evening. It's a celebration for the entire day. And you even put out like a style guide, so you know exactly what to wear.
That's right. Thank you so much for noticing. I was actually the creative director for that style guide. And so that is just as much for the people at home as it is for the people coming to the racetrack, because you're exactly right. You know, we, of course, love for people to come through the gates and see those twin spires in person. But having a party at home is another way that people celebrate. You know, and when I lived in Chicago, I used to host a party every year, and that was a wonderful way. And, of course, you know, everyone has the way of putting the horses in a bowl, and everyone chooses their horse, and hopefully they win the pot of the party. But there's so many ways that people maintain those traditions on their own, and the menu that comes with that. And of course, you have to have a hat.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk about the menu a little bit. I know we can talk about the cocktails too, because the mint julep is the big drink for that day. But how does the food play a role in this?
Well, you know, Kentucky is known for the Southern hospitality, so the staples of our menu always revolve around that. Of course, the Kentucky hot brown, and there are so many things that the Derby pie. There's so many things that people associate with the Kentucky Derby and Derby hospitality, and now the Kentucky Derby is an all-inclusive event. So we've always said it's a day of indulgence, but never more than now, and that includes those mint juleps, which we do not necessarily recommend. Imbibing more than just a few, because that's not something people drink all year.
No, it is absolutely not. Talk about some of the other traditions of the Derby that are still in place today that started in the beginning.
You know, the garland of roses, of course, is something that everyone associates with the Derby, and they love seeing that garland placed on the champion horse at the end. And that's something that came to be years later. Even the twin spires that we see and associate with Churchill Downs, it's such an iconic representation. It is just celebrating 130 years this year. So there was, you know, there was a time when those did not stand above that racetrack. And I love the story about how the architect who designed the twin spires never returned to Churchill Downs because he secretly thought that the grandstand couldn't withhold the weight of them.
Oh,
here we are 130 years later, and it's still there, but he didn't have a lot of confidence in that design.
Yeah, that's frightening a little bit, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, I think that when you, you know, if you were to take a poll of 100 sports lovers, many of them would say that one of their favorite moments in sports is the singing of My Old Kentucky Home, before, you know, as the horses are starting to load into the gates. It's a very emotional moment. And so that's one of the longstanding traditions as well. That's over 100 years old.
And even though the race is next Saturday, the activities really kick off this weekend.
That's right. So we kick off opening night this Saturday night. And this year, opening night is when we started this last year, is when we do the post position draw. Mm-hmm. And so that is the night there'll be a production, and the contenders for the Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby will learn what their starting position is. And of course, that's really important to people, where they're going to come out of that gate, how they're going to break, what their position will be. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, just yesterday, the Netflix series debuted, Race to the Crown, and it chronicled last year's Triple Crown series. And you saw that, the post position draw and how much is sort of wrapped in the number that you draw and where you load into the starting gate among those 20 horses. So there's actually a lot of tradition and lore around that. The numbers that have never won, the numbers that have won the most. And so, you know, a lot of, I guess, superstition more than anything wrapped into that. So that'll kick off this Saturday. This year, we're doing a Great Gatsby thing because it's actually the 100-year anniversary of, you know, F. Scott Fitzgerald's novel, The Great Gatsby, and portions of that take place in Louisville, Kentucky. And so the city of Louisville is celebrating that 100-year anniversary, and we're going to kick it off at Churchill Downs on opening night. And then beyond that, Dave, you know, I think that people who don't come to the Derby don't necessarily realize the entire week is full of live racing.
Yes, right.
Every day has a different theme, and people come dressed as if it is their Kentucky Derby every day of the week. Derby Day is so full of tourists, and so really the rest of the week is when the city of Louisville and the state of Kentucky sort of they claim Churchill Downs as their own, and they do their own version of the Derby throughout the week.
I love that. Dawn at the Downs is on Sunday, and that's a long time, kind of a behind-the-scenes tradition.
You're exactly right. That is one of those well-kept secrets that we actually don't want it to be a secret. Because
I was going to say, did I just let it out? Did I just let it out, Tanya?
No, it's wonderful. You know, actually, you make such a great point because Dawn at the Downs used to just be, I mean, it wasn't branded as that. It was just a time when people would bring their families, they'd watch the sunrise, and they would watch the Derby and Oaks contenders do their early morning workouts. And there really is nothing more beautiful. You see the horse's breath, and it's just the track is silent. You hear their hooves pounding, and it's almost such a majestical time. It almost feels spiritual for those of us who love horse racing. Mm-hmm. And it used to be just a very intimate day, you know, morning to bring, you know, parents would bring their kids before school in the morning. And as it grew more popular, you know, we needed to formalize it a little bit so there would be, you know, operational ease for everyone in terms of like parking. And so now you can even buy a breakfast, you know, a breakfast ticket and have breakfast on Millionaire's Row while you overlook the track and the horses working out. Or you
beautiful.
Still can just come and pull up to the rail and enjoy a beautiful morning.
I love that. And on race day, you got Grammy-nominated Grace Potter singing the national anthem. Tell us about Simone Biles and what she's involved in all this.
So Simone Biles will be doing Writers Up. And, you know, Writers Up through the years, last year it was Martha Stewart. It's always just someone recognizable who symbolizes, you know, just a spirit of competition and excellence. So some years it's a Kentuckian, some years it's someone associated with racing, other years it's an athlete or a cultural figure. You know, Martha last year, she designed the Derby at home menu. So that was how she was connected with the Derby. Now, she got the state wrong. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. It's okay. It happens. It happens. It's all right.
She got everything else right, but she got the state wrong. So we'll let Simone do a run through before she goes live this year.
I love it. I love it.
You mentioned Grace Potter. That's going to be incredible. I think she's going to do just an absolute killer version of the anthem.
Absolutely. I mean, this is 2 minutes of people's lives. I mean, the race itself, I mean, everybody's leading up to this, not only all week, all day, and then those 2 minutes happen. How exciting is it to be there? And I encourage folks to really think about doing this next year, if not this year.
Absolutely. Yes, there are still general admission tickets available. And you're right. You know, it's a long day. It's a long 2 weeks for Louisville because we're celebrating all week, Thunder over Louisville and just activities, you know, and galas for 2 weeks straight. But even for those, and of course, those have been training a horse for 3 years, all comes to this moment. But even for those who are not as educated on what to expect that day, I don't think they realize sometimes that there's racing all day. And so, you know, people come and they have fun and they're placing their wagers and they're being social and it's a great atmosphere. But then you can tell the energy starts to change in the hour leading up to the Kentucky Derby race later in the day. And the crowd starts to swell forward. They're no longer walking around and taking photos and visiting. They start to swell forward because they want a beautiful view. And you can start to feel a little bit of the tension. But what I always say is what separates the Derby from other sporting events is that other sporting events, you have people yelling against each other.
Right.
And the Kentucky Derby is one of the only sporting events where everyone is just sort of yelling in unison. And so it's really this communal experience. Of course, everyone's probably placed their bets on different horses, but it's not that sort of tribal atmosphere of you know, rooting against each other. So it really is a beautiful moment. And you sort of hold your breath for the entire 2 minutes from the gates swinging open to that final finish. And as you recall, last year it was a triple horse finish, so exciting by absolutely the hair of a nose, it seems. So even when the race is finished, sometimes the tension remains as they make that final call.
I bet it does. How much money does the winner of the Kentucky Derby earn?
You know, last year we increased the purse from $3 million to $5 million. And so, of course, that money is divided between the winning and the winning owner, trainer, and jockey. There's a certain percentage that they each get. And then, of course, those who place, and even those in the rest of the field, they get something as well. So we did an increase of that purse significantly last year for the 150th.
Very cool. Well, if you can't make the Derby, you can watch the 151st Kentucky Derby on NBC and streaming on Peacock. And for anything and everything on the Derby, visit KentuckyDerby.com. Tanya, thank you for sharing the details of this amazing race once again, and enjoy the Derby and everything leading up to it.
Dave, it was an absolute pleasure. Happy Derby.
Thank you. Happy Derby to you as well. All right. The official sponsor of the Kentucky Derby is Woodford Reserve, and they will join us on the map after the news next.